stories of Levitsa Glenda. So they're in jail, 4.5 months straight. Of Levitsa was suffering in the prison in Uman. Later, years later, Levitsa revealed that he merited that twice he got encouragement from his parents, which passed away. Once, his mother came to him in a dream and told him, "Don't worry, you can be calm because all the tzaddikim in Tveria are davening for you." Another time, his father came to him in a dream also, and he gave him chizuk. He told him, "In Shamayim, they're making sure you'll be saved." A little bit of consolation he had, a little bit, that they let his wife bring him sometimes, kosher food from the outside. One day, his wife broke her hand, and she couldn't go bring the food. So he sent the daughter to go bring the food instead of her, and to see what goes. How is he doing? One of these times that his daughter went to the stair, the daughter saw that there was something going around the jail over there. The choker, the investigator, his name was Koperinov, to go immediately to the father. "Go past, let's go inside." So with a heartbeat, she went inside. Right away, she saw that her father's face not looking too good, because usually his face was shining, it was glowing, and something happened. After prayer, after she begged him to tell me what's going on, she told him that they're transferring me to Kiev, because this jail is too small from holding such a big criminal like a Levitsa Glenda. And then, could be also that another reason why they're transferring him is because that death penalties are not done in Uman, only in Kiev. When the 12-year-old daughter heard this coming out of her father's mouth clearly, she almost fainted. But she was able to get as much information out of him, and then to give him chizuk. Now the same story comes up also in Eliyahu Chaim Rosin, which was also in prison together with Rabbi Yitzchak. He writes like this: at the end of the month of Shvat, one of the people, the communist over there, came to my room and told me to be ready, because it's sending me to Kiev. My room was big, maybe 30 people were sitting there, and when they came to say that, everyone was frightened, because they were friends with me, even though most of them were goyim. They were afraid, they had a rule: if you go to Kiev, the end. Obviously, the arresting of Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Chaim Rosin caused a lot of sorrow to the Hasidim Breslev. And Rabbi Yitzchak was one of the main powers, anything to do with the Klois and the Tzion Rabbeinu, right? And also the Tzion, every shul, and they didn't close the shul. They just told him, "No problem, just have to pay a billion rubles a month." And he was always going to get the, he always made sure to get the money. Every time there was somehow the money. Once they told them that they're gonna for a certain big amount of money, and until a certain hour, you must give them the money, and if not, they're gonna close immediately the place. There was some miracle that happened, right? And he was able to get all the money. All the shuls in Uman were closed. The only shul which stayed open in Uman was the Breslov Klois, and all the Sefer Torah and all the holy books they brought there. Till today, they are totally a standard.
It's not the same Klois.
No. But you can go there and see today's a factory, unfortunately. But it's a shul. There's a lady who's alive today, and she remembers it as a shul. She's the granddaughter of Albano, great-great-granddaughter of Albano. Gerbach, Mrs. Gerbach. Everything Gerbach. She was in Uman as a kid, and there was an article about her. She's still alive. She's very old. that she, they took her to Uman, and they, she remembered that the mikvah was over here, and this was over here. And Rabbi Yitzchak said that in the cloys there were very high, tall windows, very high windows, and that became the, they used the books were stacked up over there, and also the Sifat Torah over there. But after he was arrested, they closed the cloys completely. Yeah, eventually the Russians turned into a factory, and Breslov Hasidim used to say, it used to be a factory for tshuva, for Yiddishkeit, and now it's a real factory, unfortunately. There's a picture here of the clothes. And also when you go to Uman, you can see it clearly. It's right near it's right across from the tzion, meaning if you're standing in the back of the tzion, where the festus is, where it's open, and you're looking towards the other side where there's houses, so you can point it out, you can see it. We'll stop here for today. Tomorrow we're going to say the story of how he was saved.